Right. Let's dive into a pretty intense situation. Imagine intense public pressure, even threats, to defy a court order that you like, just fundamentally disagree with. Do you uphold the law or bow to the will of the people?
Yeah.
It's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's basically the dilemma at the heart of Cooper v. Aaron, Supreme Court showdown with huge implications.
Mm.
I mean, for civil rights, obviously, but maybe even some like parallels to stuff we're dealing with today. Right?
Well, and you hit it right on the head when you said it's a showdown. I mean, what's so interesting about Cooper v. Aaron is that it goes way beyond just school desegregation. I mean, it's really about like this bedrock principle of American law. Judicial supremacy when state and federal laws clash, right? Supreme Court gets the final say.
Right.
Cooper v. Aaron put that to the test.
Yeah.
Fiery crucible of the civil rights movement.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We're in 1957, 3 years after Brown v. Board of Education declared segregated schools unconstitutional, right?
Yes.
The Little Rock School Board, they had this plan to gradually desegregate Central High School.
Right.
And I mean, on the surface, maybe this seemed kind of reasonable at the time. But Governor Orville Faubus, he had other ideas.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
He did. Governor Faubus succumbing to this immense public pressure and, let's just call it what it was, outright racism, called in the National Guard to prevent 9 black students from entering Central High.
Wow.
I mean, that was just a direct challenge to the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
And a blatant attempt to obstruct the implementation of Brown v. Board.
It's hard to even imagine, like, the courage of those students facing that.
Absolutely.
So how did the federal government respond to this? I mean, this is a direct challenge to their authority.
It was, and President Eisenhower took action, sending in federal troops to escort the students into the school. So this isn't just about school integration anymore. It's a full-blown constitutional crisis.
Well, heck
you know,
yeah.
Who had the authority to interpret and enforce the Constitution? That was the question.
So in the middle of all this, right?
Yeah.
The Little Rock School Board, they, citing the need to restore order, asked for a 2.5-year delay.
Wow.
In desegregation.
Wow.
And a lower court actually agreed? But, I mean, is that the end of the story?
No, not quite. The 8th Circuit Court of Appeals overturned that. They said, no, this is just a tactic to avoid Brown v. Board. And so they overturned the lower court's decision, sending this thing right up to the Supreme Court.
So that sets the stage. Supreme Court steps in. Epic showdown. 2 major questions, right?
Yes.
Can states just ignore federal court orders based on how the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution? And can constitutional rights just be put on hold, you know, because of public opposition, even violence?
Mm-hmm.
Big questions. What happened?
Big questions. And they got big answers. All 9 justices, all 9, in a rare show of unity, said no to both of those questions. I mean, this was a landmark moment. Cooper v. Aaron firmly established that state officials cannot just defy federal courts that are upholding constitutional rights no matter what the public pressure is. And it really wasn't just about desegregation at this point. This was about the very foundation of our legal system.
This is huge. So break down like the logic, the reasoning behind this. I mean, this is a huge decision.
Absolutely. The court's reasoning was rooted in some really basic things about our government. First, they cited Article 6 of the Constitution, the Supremacy Clause. This establishes the Constitution and federal law as the supreme law of the land.
Okay, so you can't pick and choose, right?
Right.
Especially when it comes to fundamental rights.
Exactly, and that's where they went next. Marbury v. Madison.
Oh, Marbury v. Madison. The case that, like, every law student knows.
Right.
This is the one that gave the Supreme Court teeth.
Yeah. Gave him some teeth.
Yeah.
And they said, look, it's the Supreme Court that gets to say what the Constitution means. And they saw right through Arkansas's attempts to delay desegregation.
Right.
They called them ingenious schemes.
Oh, wow.
To get around this. And they basically said, look, the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, you can't just ignore that because it's unpopular.
So they really drew a line in the sand.
They did.
It was about more than Little Rock. It was about the soul of America, I guess.
That's right.
A commitment to justice and equality.
It was a powerful message to the nation.
Yeah.
Constitutional rights are not up for debate.
Right.
They're not to be compromised just because it's politically convenient.
Right.
Or people are afraid of the backlash.
Wasn't the end of the story, though, right?
No. Cooper v. Aaron would echo through legal battles for years to come.
And that's something we're going to explore further.
I mean, the court's message was powerful. I mean, it really reverberates to this day.
Right.
But it's the words of the justices that really really capture like the weight of this.
Powerful words can have a lasting impact for sure.
Absolutely.
Especially coming from the highest court in the land. So what were some of the key takeaways?
Well, you know, Chief Justice Earl Warren, he wrote the unanimous opinion.
Yeah.
And he was known for these really strong pronouncements, right?
Right.
And he stated unequivocally, the constitutional rights of children cannot be nullified openly and directly by state legislators.
Wow. That's pretty bold.
Yeah.
Some might even say, like, that's overstepping the court's authority.
Yeah.
You know, disregarding federalism, states' rights. How did they address that?
Well, they acknowledged that tension. You know, Justice Felix Frankfurter, in his concurring opinion, said, look, you can criticize the court.
Yeah.
You can disagree with the court's decisions.
Right.
But there's a line.
Right.
And he wrote, active obstruction or defiance is barred.
So you can disagree.
Right.
You can criticize. Yeah, yeah. But you can't actually try to, like, block the implementation.
Right. You can't get in the way.
Okay. So that's a key distinction there. It seems like they were trying to balance, like, free speech with the rule of law. Did he go into more detail on that?
He did. He emphasized, look, criticizing the court, that's fine. Dissent is a cornerstone of democracy.
Right.
But actively resisting rulings, especially when it comes to enforcing these basic rights, that crosses the line. It undermines the whole system, you know, threatens the stability of the nation.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Big difference between just disagreeing.
Yeah.
And actually working to obstruct the law.
Absolutely.
So that's a clear message. Debate and dissent, that's good. That's essential.
Right.
But the rule of law, especially when we're talking about these fundamental rights, that has to win out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
How do these principles apply today, though? I mean, this is decades ago.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, we see echoes of Cooper v. Aaron all the time, especially in debates about immigration, environmental regulations, healthcare. We're always seeing states passing laws or taking actions that clash with federal policies or court ruling.
Yeah. Look at sanctuary cities.
Yeah.
You got cities refusing to cooperate with federal immigration enforcement.
Right.
The Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
States trying to limit it, even overturn it. I mean,
this
really seems to mirror Cooper v. Aaron.
Yeah. And in all of these cases, it's the courts that have to figure out, okay, well, how does Cooper v. Aaron play into this? How much leeway do states get while still respecting the Supreme Court? It's a tough balancing act.
Yeah, it's like walking a tightrope.
It is.
Trying to reconcile federalism, state sovereignty, with consistent application of the law.
Exactly.
And especially when it comes to fundamental rights, things get really complicated.
Yeah, and, you know, the world is just way more complicated than it was back in 57, right? Mm-hmm. These issues we're facing now, they're multifaceted. They're nuanced.
Yeah.
But that core principle from Cooper, that Supreme Court interpretation, is the supreme law of the land.
Yeah.
That's foundational, right?
Right.
But how we apply it going forward, how it's going to be shaped, molded by these new challenges, well, that's a story that's still being written.
Cooper v. Aaron is a product of its time, but man, it's still so relevant today.
Absolutely.
It's this reminder that civil rights, equality under the law, this is an ongoing process.
It never ends, really, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Requires us to be vigilant, be willing to have tough conversations, challenge the people in power.
Okay, so we've really gone deep on Cooper v. Aaron, the context, the legal arguments, even the words of the justices.
Mm.
But as we kind of wrap things up here, like, what's the takeaway? What does it all mean for us?
Well, I think the big thing is that Cooper v. Aaron set this precedent that's still like the cornerstone of our legal system. The Supreme Court's interpretation of the Constitution, that's the top dog. States can't just ignore it because they don't like it.
Right.
It's all about keeping the law consistent across the country, protecting everyone's basic rights.
Makes sense, but like, it's been a while since 1957. The world's changed a lot. Things are more complex now. We're way more divided politically. Does Cooper really still carry the same weight? Can a case from the civil rights era, can it really guide us in this crazy world?
Yeah, it's definitely been put to the test. I mean, we've seen tons of examples where states have pushed back against what the feds want them to do. Sometimes they even take it all the way up to the Supreme Court. Look at all the arguments about environmental regulations, right?
Right.
You have states making their own laws, refusing to enforce federal regulations, saying it's about states' rights and the economy. That tension, states versus feds, it goes straight back to Cooper.
That's a really good point. Like, the ghost of Cooper v. Aaron is always hanging around these federalism debates. What about those challenges to the Affordable Care Act? A bunch of states fought hard against it, said the government was overreaching.
Absolutely. And those challenges, they force the courts to really wrestle with what Cooper v. Aaron means. Like, how do you balance states' rights with the idea that, the Supreme Court's word is law? They had to make sure that what the Supreme Court says about the Constitution, that's what goes, even when there's a ton of political opposition.
So it's this constant balancing act. Keep things unified, apply the law the same way everywhere, but also respect that states have their own interests, their own power. Cooper gives us a framework, but it doesn't give us all the answers.
Exactly. And as we run into new problems, the way we use Cooper is going to keep changing too. It's not a set in stone thing. It's a principle, but we have to keep interpreting it as the legal and political landscape shifts around us.
So for all of us out here, you know, trying to be good citizens, what's the takeaway? What can Cooper v. Aaron teach us about protecting our rights and making sure the law works the way it should?
I think the biggest lesson is that the fight for civil rights, for equal treatment under the law, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You win one court case, that's great, but it doesn't mean the fight is over.
You can't just sit back and assume everything's going to be okay.
Nope. Cooper v. Aaron shows us that the rule of law, the very thing our democracy is built on, it's pretty fragile. It needs all of us to be involved, to be aware, to speak up when we see something wrong.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So Cooper v. Aaron, even though it came out of this very specific time in history, it still speaks to us today. It reminds us that the fight for civil rights is never really over, that there's this constant push and pull between the states and the federal government, and that having an independent court system to uphold the Constitution is absolutely crucial.
Yeah, it shows us that we're always going to be grappling with the balance of power in this country. How we understand Cooper v. Aaron in the future, how we use it, that's still up in the air. And every single one of us has a part to play in shaping that.
Well, this has been a truly insightful deep dive. It's amazing how Cooper v. Aaron, a case that came out of the fight for school desegregation, still has so much to say about our legal system and our country as a whole. It reminds us that the search for justice and equality, that's a journey without a finish line. We've got to be on guard, and we've got to be committed to making sure the law works for everyone. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Cooper v. Aaron.